John Harbaugh is the best coach I know. The best coach I've ever seen. Whatever team he goes to is going to be formidable, and I just hope it's in the NFC. He added.
Yeah.
He'll be a head coach next year.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's good. He's not taking the gap year. Some people do wonder about that.
No?
You know what? I've decided I think I want Jim Harbaugh to be my official lifetime hype man. Have you ever heard him talk about Justin Herbert? All he does is talk as if Justin Herbert's the greatest quarterback he's ever seen play. I think he's actually said that at one point, that he's the greatest quarterback his two eyes have ever seen. And then, like, obviously he's going to talk fondly about his brother, but, like, he goes
over... It'd be funny
if
he dogged him, though.
He goes over the top in such an awesome way that I want to just be in his orbit so he could hype me up, because everyone in his orbit apparently just gets hyped up a ton.
Watch out, or Matt Khalil's ex is going to sue him. I butchered that joke. I did that because it was Matt Khalil that would sue him because he got it talked up too much.
Yeah, it was
however,
bad.
I go back to this. You are correct. I also would like him to. Here's the thing, though. He actually believes it.
At least he comes across like he believes it.
So he's a great actor. You don't think he believes it?
The amount of I don't know what he does and doesn't believe, but it seems like every time I hear him talk about Justin Herbert, it's as if he's never seen anybody else play the position.
You know what, though?
You think he's that like shell shocked by Herbert? He might be.
This is going to be an interesting thing to then segue into.
I don't know that he is, though.
This is going to be an interesting thing to segue
into. See what happens with this playoffs.
Because you're wondering, okay, is Jim Harbaugh really being authentic with how effusive of praise that he's giving?
But I like it. And I appreciate Herbert. And this is why I'd have him as my hype man.
All right.
Because he knows how to give it out. He knows how to sell it. He knows how to do it. I like
this. This is a family show. But while we're talking about effusive praise for NFL quarterbacks, the ESPN had a first draft, a first kind of run of their mock draft on their YouTube channel earlier today. And Mel Kiper standing on business still for Shedeur Sanders.
I mean, I don't know what else the kid needs to do, but I've watched every play, every snap of Shedeur Sanders, and he should be proud of what he had to go through and survive. Everything about Shedeur Sanders screams he's the quarterback. Really, when you look at what Shedeur did this year, not having any training camp, never with the ones, defense, offense, be thrown out there, playing in brutal weather conditions, not in domes. If you're going to sit there and tell me you weren't impressed with the rookie year of Shedeur Sanders, I would say you weren't watching the same game I was.
If you compare that to what Jim Harbaugh says about Justin Herbert, Jim Harbaugh basically has called Justin Herbert a bum. That is some praise there.
It didn't sound too different than what we say about Shedeur. What are you talking about?
That was more than what we've said. He said, what more do you need to see? Consistency.
I don't know that was implying that, like, what more do you need to see? Give him the keys, make him the greatest quarterback ever.
Should we replay the sound?
I think so. Right, yeah, I think maybe I need to hear this again.
I know you're looking at your phone. Can we replay the beginning of that? That's a great shot.
I mean, I don't know what else the kid needs to do, but I've watched every play, every snap of Shedeur Sanders, and he should be proud of what he had to go through and survive. Everything about Shedeur Sanders screams he's the quarterback. Really, when you look at what Shedeur did.
What more he needs to do, and everything about Shedeur screams he's the quarterback.
He never says, I don't know what more he needs to do, but the everything he...
It was literally the first thing he said. All right, Mac.
Run it back.
I mean, I don't know what else the kid needs to do.
Okay, that part was right. All right, good. That was good. Okay. I was like, what part? But you didn't. But the first thing you had said wasn't right, and that's where I got confused.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. The whole point is that...
That's about as hyped as you can be about Shedeur after all the things that have happened this year. Like people are going to hear that and just discredit Mel Kiper on Shedeur Sanders.
Is Mel Kiper the person most attached to Shedeur having success outside of an inner circle member of Shedeur or someone related with the last name Sanders?
Louis Riddick, unless you think he's...
I think Mel had more of it, though. Because Mel on draft night went for hours.
Days.
Effusing praise about Shedeur and telling everyone that they'd lost their mind and they'd gone crazy and how he was right and they were all wrong. And so, like, I just don't think he's going to back down to it this quick.
It's interesting because, like, it's weird, dude, because we've said nice things about Shedeur and because we just haven't said he sucks, move on. We, for different reasons, you and I get kind of labeled with, Shedeurian supporters, whatever you want to say. I'm really excited to see what Shedeur can do next year, and I hope it's in Cleveland. Like, I said this yesterday, like, I think the Shedeur experiment this year was a success. Not necessarily how they went about the experiment, but from the Shedeur side of things, he played better than I thought. He played certainly better than a fifth-round pick, And I think people who are just throwing QBR or EPA without the context of the weighting of the Bears game and EPA, or without looking at kind of the diminishing returns around Shador and all that, and some of the context on some of the turnovers, I quite honestly think those people are bat bleep crazy. I also think Mel's a little lost in the, I think he's gone a little too far for me.
Well, yeah, maybe, I mean, listen, I wouldn't come out here and say he's the franchise. I wouldn't come out here and say that Shador's the obvious next answer to put him in Canton and do all these type of things. Like, no, like there's a lot he still has to do. And the problem that happened this last year, you know, I thought about this the other day. Like, there's got to be a part of Shador that had wished that they really did just go Flacco into Gabriel, and he never even saw the field at all in this first season, because this wasn't set up for anyone. It wasn't set up for Dylan.
I disagree. I think the tape does vindicate him. Don't give me the stats. If you watch the tape, I think he's far more NFL ready, and probably should have gotten a better opportunity.
I think he likes the idea that he knows what he has to do going into the offseason. That part I would 100% agree with. Like, he's seen the NFL, he's seen what he has to do, and he knows what he has to work on, and he's the type of guy that will work on this, and he'll get better because of it. But I don't know. This position, I mean, look at like PFF always does their supporting cast rating, and you have the final ranking on it where it puts everything, pass grades in rushing, receiving, pass blocking, run blocking, everything except for passing that accompanies an offense. And the Browns, of course, were 32nd. It wasn't even a question of where they're going to be on this list. They're going to always be 32nd. Like, it was the worst position imaginable, with no training camp, no reps, no anything to just be thrown into. And then be judged off of that. Yeah, I wanted him to. I'm talking about now that we've seen everything.
But I think he wanted to. I think he said he wanted to spot to play this year. But he got that opportunity.
But now you get a hindsight. And in hindsight, this is what I wondered. In hindsight, does he look at it and say, maybe it would have been better if I had, in fact, just rested this season, and it just went Flacco into Gabriel, and they took Flacco for 9 games, then they went Gabriel for the final 8, and I just got to absolve myself of this being the chance that I get, because there's a real, real world scenario out there that Shador doesn't get another opportunity, and that's the only thing he got.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I feel like the Shador thing was a success. I think if you actually watch the tape, Shador was a much better quarterback than Dylan Gabriel. He was actually a much more successful quarterback from the most important stat, which is, did you win the damn game or not, than any of the other quarterbacks had played this year. And he did it at a time where that team was on the verge of checking out, or not checking out on Kevin Stefanski, but checking out on trying to compete as a team every single week. He did it the hardest part of the season to do it on a losing team. So I hope that Shador looks at this and goes, well, the stats might end up hurting me here or there, but you know what? Damn it. I wanted to play this year, and I put tape out there that says I belong in the NFL and that I'm not a fifth-round pick. Because I think if you still are calling him a fifth-round pick after what you saw, you're either telling me you don't know football, or you don't like Shador, and just nothing you saw other than 300 yards a game is going to make a difference, or I'm going to go back to one. You don't know football.
Unfortunately, I feel like way too many people are going to fall in that first category, though.
Well, because I don't care about that. I care that the Browns don't fall in that category.
Well, but they might, though. That's the problem, is that whatever this new head coach is, he's going to have his say in the matter. And this is where Andrew Berry's got to stick to his guns and talk about what he's seen and talk about the development and everything else. But, like, there's a real chance that's the only opportunity Shador ever gets. That does exist out there. I hope, obviously, that's not true. And I hope it's not that even. I hope it's also not the equation where he doesn't get another chance for 6 years and then is able to showcase Geno Smith style what exactly he can do. But how the NFL works, they work very, very heavily off unfair first impressions and unfair evaluations, where people don't actually watch the entire games the way that we were watching them and go through the ebbs and the flows, and they just dismiss it at hand. And unfortunately for Shador, he's got to be up against that now.
If Dylan Gabriel gets a crack to start in the NFL again at all, Shador, especially in Cleveland,
I don't think that'll happen either. No, I don't think that'll happen either. There's no way a coach comes in here and says Dylan Gabriel's getting opportunities.
I'll actually go one step further. I think if Deshaun gets he's the quarterback next year and everybody else is the backup, if he got the first crack, I think I would
listen
judge
to how Albert talks
everybody
about this stuff, though. And this is how Albert only talks to people inside the NFL when it comes to teams, roster building, how they do all this. They believe that Deshaun Watson could be something way more than they believe Shador can. We disagree with that immensely. Obviously, we do. But this is how they think. And we talked about groupthink in the NFL all the time. And right now, the groupthink on Shador, because of the awful situation he was put in, and I really will fall on that, the awful situation he was put in, it didn't do him any favors.
But the guy that drafted him is still here.
And that's
whether
what
that's
we
Barry
to.
Or Haslam. Is it better if it's Haslam? I think it's better if
much
it's Haslam.
Much better if it's Haslam. We have to pray to the high heavens that it was Haslam. That is the one that loves him. I do think Barry likes him, by the way. I think Barry and Shador, they're in each other's corner in this. I think this is a good thing ultimately, but it's just there's no guarantees with this. And it sucks, but that's the reality.
216-474-0092. Where are you on the Harbaugh stuff? And whether you think he'll come here to Cleveland, we're going to talk with that. About that with Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.